Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of May, of June, and I'm recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, how about stock markets here today? Well, in Asia, they were mostly higher, and one of the more reassuring gains, I think, is the Shanghai Composite Index, up 1.08%. Remember, that's been ranging for several months here, just above that 20,000 level, or just around that 20,000 level, which is an area of some importance in terms of support. And we've seen another upward dynamic from this point. Hardest thing to do, I think, in technical analysis is to predict when a market that's ranging and relatively quietly, when it's actually going to break out of that range. But you do get clues, and if you look at the daily chart, and I'll be posting it today, you do see some upside key day reversals near that 20,000 level, and you get more upward dynamics in the last few months than downward dynamics. And that usually suggests that a process of accumulation is underway. Now, this, of course, is a very controlled market, controlled by the government. And when they press the button in terms of pushing new money into the market and encouraging Chinese citizens to do so, I think we'll get a very persistent sprint to the upside. I say that because although there are obviously problems in the economy, which have been discussed extensively and exaggerated somewhat, in my opinion, but the valuations are still very attractive here, by far the best among any highly liquid market overall. And of course, another China story is that the sectors to have been in over the last few years have certainly been the consumer-related areas. And you can see a lot of those in the Hang Seng Index, which has done a whole lot better and, of course, was up here today as well. And are we approaching a potentially significant upside breakout? The Hang Seng Index is at 23,315. Highs of the last 2 years are just over 24,000. And the pattern shows certainly a sufficient buildup of support to at least challenge those highs in coming months. Now, what else in the Asian region? Now, Japan. Japan's overbought in the short term, following a good rally over the last 2.5 weeks or so. And I think it's spilled over into a consolidation here today. Modest decline, but the Nikkei was down 0.85 of a percent. Elsewhere, better gains. KOSPI, that's South Korea market, was up nearly 1.1%. And Sensex Index, despite that big gain yesterday, fractionally higher. In here today, reversing an earlier small decline in the index. And Thailand, not a bad day, 0.82%, and Jakarta, better still, at 1.25%. Now, in Europe, we had a quiet day here for a change. Remember, it was quite strong yesterday. But a few more markets up than down. The best gainer by far appears to be Switzerland, up 1.08%. Now, in the Americas, well, Brazil firm again here today, and mostly indices mostly higher. Now, Wall Street basically closed unchanged with fractional gains, but that erased what had been a modest decline for most of the day. So we're still seeing demand in this important and highly influential market. I saw a comment which certainly made sense and has probably been repeated earlier on about contributing factors to this weight of money argument that we see here on Wall Street and many other stock markets, including, I should say, dropping back to Europe, the recoveries that we've seen in a number of the Eastern European stock markets are very, very impressive. I think that's partly due to a feeling that the Russian tensions have eased somewhat, although certainly Russia's policies haven't changed, but it's clear the U.S. doesn't want to do much and Europe doesn't want to do anything in terms of sanctions. And also, they will like the ECB's latest moves. But getting back to the comment that on the U.S. market and perhaps some other markets, that many pension fund managers who had been in bond markets, and rightly so, for many, many years, as that potential was played out in the government bonds for the most part, they switched to more to corporate bonds, and that created a short-term virtuous or medium-term virtuous circle in here, where the corporations found that they could borrow at very low interest rates if they wished to, paid off some more expensive debt that they actually had, redeemed some of those bonds where they could. And because the CEOs and other top management people are rewarded for share price performance, they also did a lot of buybacks, which also flattered the earnings overall. And so that's been a big support here for the U.S. stock market. And that's still in train, still in motion, as it were. But not to pour cold water on this nice overall environment that we're still enjoying, but just remember an old adage that when it's quite easy to make money, when it's surprisingly easy to make money in the market, you can expect that not too many months down the road, it'll be just as easy to lose money in that market. Because you get some sharp reactions when the momentum swings in the other direction for whatever reason. What might those reasons be? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But people have been talking about deflation and slowdown and GDP growth. And that was reflected by bond yields. Take those U.S. 10-year yields, which less than three weeks ago, were down near 2.40. And today, we're at 2.64. So from 2.4 to 2.64 in less than 3 weeks. That's a good move. And also, it's pushing above the initial resistance at that 2.6 level, and that suggests that it has a reasonable chance of getting back up to test the upper side of the range of the last 4 or 5 months, which would take it up to the 2.8 level. So we may see a little bit of concern that, well, we're not going to see all that much deflation, and some inflationary pressures will be picking up. Now, where might they be coming from? Well, I don't think there will be that much to be concerned about, but and it depends from country to country. House price appreciation in the UK, a little bit of wage pressure in some economies, but not a great deal, and I don't expect that much in the way of wage pressure, particularly with all the technological innovation that's actually taking place and pressuring job security. Looking at commodity markets, I was concerned and a little bit surprised by the firmness of oil that we saw yesterday. That's backed off a little bit in here today. The WTI crude got up to 105, which is the region of those previous highs of the last few months that I mentioned in yesterday's audio, backed off from that level, currently at 104.29, but not that far away, obviously. An upward break there would be a concern. Personally, I don't see a reason for that to take place other than just people punting in these markets, maybe trying to trigger stops or whatever. But the big story here, when I look at the commodity indices, and you know that this year they've seen some quite sharp rises, but that ran out of steam last month, and we've seen some pullbacks. And the biggest pullbacks have occurred in the agricultural commodities. Now that's good news in terms of food prices, and there are some exceptions to that, namely coffee, given the problems with the crops in Brazil. But so far, the crop outlook for the United States, also Europe, is pretty good. Enough sunshine and also enough moisture here for those crops, and we had record plantings in a number of instances, and the slight decrease in tensions in the Ukraine has helped wheat prices to weaken quite substantially over the last month. So those agricultural commodities, which were good trades on the upside for a number of months late last year and the beginning of this year, have fallen back even more sharply over the last month or so. So there will be certainly sufficient food, it looks like, for a number of these. There are, again, and there are always exceptions, and I've cited California in the past where we have seen a lot of problems because of the drought. But globally, in terms of staple grains such as wheat, corn, soybeans, certainly the outlook is quite attractive right now. Now, last but not least here, precious metals, steady action here. It was triggered initially by problems in the wage negotiations in South Africa, which pushed platinum up very sharply today, $28. That's up to 1,482. So it's testing the higher side of its range for a good many months, and that helped palladium to move to another new recovery high, up to 1,855. And gold and silver were a little weaker earlier in the day, but then picked up. And well, after hours trading, I see that silver has eased a bit, but it's still at $19.18. It has been up as high as 1924 and a half. So a little more recovery in there. And gold did slightly better, up to 1260, where it's trading right now. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.